And hello everybody, welcome to episode 20 of Victims of Fun. This is El Stevo. As usual, we are broadcasting live from Mr. Fujiwara's Top Ramen Shop in the Chiba District of Tokyo, right across from the Sailor Moon store. Come on down for all your ramen wants and needs, and then check out the Sailor Moon store if you're into that sort of thing. Yeah, a lot of people are. There you go. Also want to thank Anchor, the best podcast software on the internet. Makes everything easy. It's free. All the tools to make your own podcast are right there. And very easy to use controls. You can do it on your desktop or on your mobile phone. You can podcast, you know, on location. If you see aliens or something, you maybe get an interview with them. They monetize everything, can make some cash, and they will distribute your podcast to seven, it could be more, podcast distribution networks, including Spotify. So make sure you go on the Apple Play Store or Google Play and download Anchor and start your own podcast. And if you do, you can give Victims of Fun an email at victimsoffun@mail.com, and I will promote your podcast as long as you promote mine. Hey, we're on Instagram now. We're moving up in the world. So there's only one picture on there, and there's a picture of my lunch. But you can go on Instagram. Obviously, it's under Victims of Fun. And, I don't know. I got to start taking pictures of something. I just put my lunch up there. It was a hero. Or gyro, or gyro. However, you know, everybody always pronounces that thing different. You know what I'm talking about. G-Y-R-O. Is it gyro? Is it Giro, whatever. It's very good. And you need to go on Instagram, give us a follow. I'm going to start taking pictures. I don't know. I have a lot of pictures on my phone I could upload to it of places I've been and stuff. And I don't know. I'm also thinking of getting a logo. I mean, the logo that's on the Anchor FM website right now is the generic background thing for people who are just starting out their podcasts, but I'd like to get something more memorable. I want to get something like a background that has like a symbol on it, so if people see it, they're going to know that's Victims of Fun. Because eventually I want to stick that on merchandise, like on hats and face masks for this fake pandemic, you know, shirts and stuff like that. And I gotta think about design. I mean, I don't know what. I was thinking of just the initials VOF. And, you know, something cool. But I don't know, I'm not an artist. I can do stick figures. Like, even Cyanide and Happiness, like, if you ever read that webcomic, even their stick figures are better than mine. I mean, mine are just horrible. I have no drawing ability whatsoever. My talent is in writing and speaking. It's not in drawing. I mean, seriously, it's just not. So I gotta, you know, I could go on Fiverr, that website Fiverr, where you pay people to do stuff for you, like promote your podcast or design something or boost the views on your OnlyFans. And I was thinking of see if I can get somebody to maybe design a logo for me, but I want to do a rough sketch of it first. And I've got a program on my Mac that should help me with that, and then I'll just give it to the person, and there you go, hang on to it. I love sake. I drink like half a bottle when I do these podcasts. I'm surprised I'm not, you know, face down on the floor afterwards. I love sake. Sake is just fantastic. But yeah, I was trying to think of a logo, because, you know, eventually I wanted to do the whole merchandise thing. You know, I don't want to do like Alex Jones with the supplements. That's kind of weird, but, you know, maybe hats, shirt, that type of thing. Key rings, bottle openers. You know, it'd be a simple, like, what's that website? Etsy or whatever, or Cafe Press, and just, you know, you build up enough of an income stream, and the whole concept behind that is build up like a passive one. And that's kind of like what I want to do. you know, a nice little passive income stream to where I can just pretty much do the podcast as my main job. That'd be great. But, you know, whatever will be, and that type of thing. But, you know, gotta start working on it. You gotta work on things. And so I have a friend named Haley, and she's like an aspiring model, YouTube influencer type of thing. And it, what do you properly call those people? Like, is YouTube influencer, like, an actual job? I mean, I don't know. But she has her own Discord channel, too. It's pretty good. Hang on, I'm trying to see, because I want to give her stuff a plug. Where is she? Haley, where are you, Haley? There she is. Haley Dietrich is her nom de plume. She's an aspiring model actress. She works out a lot. She's a caffeine addict. If you go on Instagram, it's _ Haley Dietrich _. So it's HaileyDietrich. She plays Fortnite. Apparently she's very good at Fortnite. I tried playing Fortnite. I couldn't, you know, I got Fortnite so I could play with her, and I just couldn't get into it. I'm more of a League of Legends type thing, or a first-person shooter, like Unreal Tournament 2004 is always going to be my go-to game, but I just couldn't get into Fortnite. I don't know, but she's apparently very good at it. I mean, I play GTA 5 online because I like trolling people. Like, I'll look for people who are setting up a heist or something, and I'll show up in a tank and kill them all and just ruin their day. Because, you know, I'm just that type of person. But now, Haley is very good at Fortnite. But the reason I'm bringing Haley up is that she's very, you know, she's American, you know. She's a Caucasian. Can you say white girl? Can you say white person anymore? I don't even know. Yeah, she's a white girl. Very, very good looking. Very nice person too. I like her a lot, but she's really into K-pop. You know what K-pop is? It's Korean pop music. Like, she's really, really, really into K-pop. And I remember, I think it was last year sometime, they were trending K-pop on Twitter. For some reason, they were trying to run political interference or something, or I don't remember the whole story because I'm trying to blot all that out of my memory. But she's really into K-pop, like really, really, really into K-pop, and she's really into this guy. His stage name, or I don't know if this is his real name, but he goes by Lucas. He's Korean. He's a K-pop guy. I don't even know if he's Korean. I thought he was from Taiwan. But anyway, he's in a K-pop group called NCT. And this is the band that Haley is, like, really, really into. And Lucas is, I don't know if he's the main singer or if he's just whatever, but the K-pop, apparently K-pop is, like, really, 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 really huge. Like, it is a big, 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 big thing. Okay, Lucas's mom is Thai. Okay, so she's from Thailand. All right, so the K-pop is huge. It's, like, gigantic. Not just overseas, but it's starting to get really big here. Really, 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 really big here. And it's, I'm gonna play this, some of this for you. Off my, so this is a K-pop song called The Seventh Sense, I guess. Here, listen to this. So that's what she's into, that whole thing. But it's huge. It's like worldwide, and it's I guess you can't fault people for liking a certain type of music. I mean, it's kind of catchy, and there's more than one K-pop band. I mean, there's like, I guess, dozens of them, and I guess there's female K-pop singers too, but I didn't know there was a difference, because apparently there's J-pop, which is Japanese, and K-pop, which is Korean. Now, if you've ever met a Korean or a Japanese person, if you mistake them for one or the other, they will literally flat out go Kill Bill on your ass. Seriously, they will kill you. It's like calling somebody Sicilian Italian. They will kill you and your entire family for even suggesting it. You know, it's like, you just don't do that. Sicily may be part of Italy, but they do not consider themselves Italian at all. And Koreans and Japanese, I mean, they normally hate each other. That whole region hates each other. What are you going to do? But it's big here. It's big in the United States. It's big everywhere. But it's kind of catchy. And the dancers and stuff, I mean, they're really fit. And I'm kind of jealous. They all have like, they don't just have six packs. They have like eight packs. It's like 1% body fat. They must like work out like 6 hours a day. And they have really, really highly choreographed dance moves. Like, impressively choreographed. Like, I'm not talking like J-Lo or Britney Spears level shit. I mean, some of the stuff I've seen these K-pop guys do is like triple level, man. Like gold standard stuff. Like the synchronization and everything is unreal. But apparently it's very popular. K-pop isn't like hardcore rap. It's not going to offend anybody with its lyrics or its content. I mean, it may offend people because, it's the music or the fact that it's in a different language, or it's kind of like, I don't want to say sugary or anything, but it's different. And especially Americans, they have a hard time dealing with things they don't know about or they don't understand. Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, it's kind of happy. It's kind of bouncy. I mean, it's got really good bass lines in it. And a lot of these tracks, when they drop the beat, they drop it hard. And it's pretty good. But I'm not an expert in it. And, Haley's probably listening to this just making bullet points of mistakes I've made talking about the music. But I'm not an expert. It's not like I'm talking about something I'm an expert in. It's just, it's just an observation. But it's, I've never been to Korea. Korea looks nice. I mean, once you've been in Tokyo at night with the neon and everything, there's really nothing better. As far as, like, a visual thing, I mean, Monaco is the gold standard. Tarpon Springs, Florida. But Tokyo at night with the neon and just everything that's here, the Plenko, the anime district, I mean, everything, the shops, the music, it's just unreal. It's all visual. People, human beings are visual creatures. We base most of our opinions and ideas on things we see, then things we hear, then things we can touch, smell, taste. But we're visual. We're very, very visual creatures. And, Tokyo at night is something you really have to experience at least once in your life. You really should. So it's a visual thing. I mean, I was sitting in a bar in Honduras, and a very, very, very famous A-list musician that if I dropped his name, everybody in the United States, everybody would be like, oh my God, what is he doing there? Walks in with his guitar and asks the bar manager, can he play a couple, can he play a set? And this is somebody who's, him and his band would fill a stadium of like 80,000 people within like 6 hours. You know, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all that stuff. It's just him and the guitar, because he was vacationing, and he wanted to play, and he just walks in and shows up. So, no auto-tunes, no explosions, no light show, just him and the guitar. I love that stripped-down thing. That's one of the few things MTV ever got right, was MTV Unplugged, where they did everything unplugged, and it was live. And I remember when it had LL Cool J on, I'm like, how are they going to do, like, rap unplugged? But damn if LL Cool J didn't pull it off. I mean, he pulled it off. I mean, the unplugged version of Mama Said Knock You Out is just one of the most incredible things you'll ever hear. But K-pop isn't like that. K-pop is all visual, it's all lights, it's all choreographed, it's all set pieces. It is what it is. You can like both. Just because you like one doesn't mean you have to denigrate or insult the other. I love stripped down, live type of musical concerts. Just the band or the singer and a couple instruments and that's it. No nothing. Not even a mixer. Just plug everything into Marshall amps and go. But I can also appreciate something like K-pop. I guarantee you if I went to a K-pop concert, I would be like, holy crap, this is like the best stuff. Because I love all that visual stuff. I love neon. I love the lights. I love choreography. I love all that. But you can like both. And I've seen online and I've talked to so many people who look at things like K-pop or J-pop or anything and go, oh my God, that's like not music. That's all flash. It's horrible. It's not. It's not. Because it's a different type of thing. And you can like the stripped down, unplugged musical performances, concerts. And you can like the things like K-pop or J-pop or trance or dubstep, you know, which I like. You can like both. There's no law that says you can't. And people get into these musical pigeonholes. And they won't accept one or the other. It's got to be, this is it. Everything else is horrible. You know, type of thing. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. I don't like Frank Zappa. I never got into his music. I don't understand his lyrics. I don't think he's as talented as everybody said he was. I think a lot of it is just, it's kind of like modern art. Like, if you go to New York or L.A., it's only a select group of people who declare, yes, this is artistic. And then everybody else listens to them because, oh, they must be an expert because they have an art degree type of thing. It was the same thing with Zappa. A couple music critics said, oh, my God, this guy's brilliant. And everybody said, well, they're really well-regarded music critics. They must be right. I don't think so. I think Zappa is just completely overrated and whatever. But if you want to like Frank Zappa, go right ahead, man. I'm not going to denigrate you. I just don't see, I don't see the hype. I don't see what the big deal is. But I'm not going to insult the guy. I'm not going to say, oh, this stuff's crap and it should be banned or it's garbage or people that listen to him are stupid. I don't like it. I don't like veal, but you want to eat veal, go right ahead. I don't like cauliflower or broccoli, but my mother does, and I love my mother, so let her eat cauliflower and broccoli. I don't care. But for a lot of people with music or even life, I like this, and you're not allowed to like anything else because I'm going to look down on you because what I like is the right thing. That's bullshit. Come on. Really? Like, expand your horizons. There's nothing wrong with K-pop. There's nothing wrong with J-pop. There's nothing wrong with trance or dubstep. And there's nothing wrong with Frank Zappa or the Beatles or Leadbelly or John Lee Hooker or Lefty Frizzell or Hank Williams Sr. There's nothing wrong with any of them. Music is fantastic. in all of its forms, except rap. I hate rap. Rap should be banned. See? Gotcha. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Do not go anywhere, or I will find you and hunt you down. Hello, this is Oscar Jackson. Now, Oscar Jackson's used car emporium on Chicken Head Road by the Piggly Wiggly. We got a lot of used cars, and you need to come down here and buy some. I can deal with anybody's credit, because, I mean, pretty much everybody here is dirt poor. I'll take SNAP, EBT, and a couple cases of bourbon, you know, I can put you in something. I sell a lot of used cars here. I got everything from Chevys to Fords to some damn un-American Japanese crap. But we're one of the top used car dealerships in the state. I'm one of the top used car dealers in the state. I sell more used cars than almost anybody, and I'll sell them to anyone. If you got a heartbeat, you get a car. If you're breathing, I'll get you a car. Like I said, I'm one of the top salespeople, top dealership, and the top dealer in the state of Florida. So I need you to come down here to Oscar Jackson's Used Car Emporium, and I'll show you why Oscar Jackson's is the top used car dealership in the state. So to just reiterate, so we're perfectly understanding, and nobody can misconstrue anything, you come down to Oscar Jackson's, I will show you why I'm top. Seriously, you come here and I will top you. I'll show you why I'm a top. Bring your family and I'll show them why I'm a top too. I remember on Chicken Head Road by Piggly Wiggly. Thank you and God bless the Confederacy. And we're back. Thank you for coming back. I appreciate it very much. Once again, this is Victims of Fun. We are live at Mr. Fujiwara's Top Ramen Shop in the Chiba District of Tokyo, right across from the Sailor Moon store. So make sure you come on down for Tokyo's best ramen and pick yourself up a Sailor Moon or a Sailor Mercury or a Sailor Uranus. Oh, God. Sailor Uranus. I don't know, have you ever walked around that district, the anime district? They have all the maid cafes there and stuff. Maid cafes are, I don't even think something like that could exist in America, maid cafes. But, they're okay, I guess, if you're into that. If you're in a taco, weebo, if you're into that whole thing, I don't know. You know, what's funny is the Japanese laugh at Westerners are coming. You know, everybody thinks, you know, I think anime in some ways is more popular in the West than it is in Japan, because over there it's seen more as an art form, or over here it's like, oh my God, I could see Sailor Moon's underwear type of thing. And, Japanese kind of laugh at the Westerners that go over there strictly to do the whole anime tour, because it's not, you know, it's there, but it's not that big of a deal to them as it is to a large segment of the Western population. But, eh. But hey, the Japanese are making a ton of money off of it, so why not? I mean, that's pretty smart. That's capitalism right there. I mean, you know. I mean, why not? It's you have people coming over here spending thousands of dollars for like vinyl anime girl dolls and like pillow sheets and shower curtains and whatever. It's just like you know. You can, I'm nothing against people watch all that type of thing, but you know, a lot of people take it just too far. Now, you know, I watched some anime, like Space Battleship Yamato, Legend of the Galactic Heroes, Black Lagoon, which I absolutely love. Drumungand. What's that watch? One Punch Man, which is spectacular. But, like, I'm not gonna, you know... I think when I was younger, I had a model from Space Battleship Yamato, just because the designs were all cool and everything, but... some of the weird stuff I've seen here from the Westerners who run around the anime district is kind of like, it's great. It's like the same people in the United States who are really into, like, My Little Pony. You ever seen those? They're, oh my god. So there's this whole... I mean, people listening to this podcast probably know this already, but I gotta talk about it because it's batshit insane. So you have this whole subculture in the United States of people who are really, really, really into My Little Pony. And I'm talking people close to my age. Men, especially. Like, 30-something-year-old men who are really, really into My Little Pony. And I don't mean really into it as far as they enjoy the show. But really into it where they devote hours to writing hundreds of pages of fan fiction on My Little Pony, to where they have, they've created life histories and backstories to every one of those stupid ponies. I mean, they get the tattoos, they buy all the toys and the merchandise, they go to the conventions where the voice actors are, and it's just, and these are grown adults with, like, families. And they're called bronies. I think the men are called bronies, and I think the women are called Pegasisters or something. But they're really, really, really into the show. Like, that's all they live for, is My Little Pony. And, you know, not the stereotype, but they usually fit the same description. Very overweight, very bad acne. It's very socially awkward. Very, very few of them have partners, and if you get my drift, because everything is My Little Pony. And, I mean, it's really just, it's incredibly just weird. I mean, yeah, okay, you watch the show, but, like, I've seen pictures of these people online at their YouTube channels or Instagrams, because, you know, I go looking for all crazy stuff to give me ideas to talk about. And, you know, there's this one guy, he's 40 years old, and I don't want to plug his stuff because I just don't want him to get the clicks. But he's 40-something, he lives in the U.S., and he's single. And his entire house is tricked out in My Little Pony stuff. I mean, every single room has tons of My Little Pony merchandise in it. Like, tens of thousands of dollars. I don't even know what he does for a living, but he must do something where he can afford it. He's probably, you know, he's probably a computer programmer or a coder or something, because that's what most of them seem to be. The whole house, even the toilet, he's got a My Little Pony toilet seat, My Little Pony toilet paper holder, My Little Pony shower car. I mean, it's, I don't get it, man. It's just, okay. I remember in the last segment I was talking about, hey, you know, if you like K-pop, you like this, you know, I'm not going to denigrate. This is completely different, because this isn't healthy. No 40-something-year-old person should be obsessed over a child show. I mean, that's just, that's sick, and that's disgusting, and if they're obsessed over a child show, what's to say they're not obsessed over children? I mean, that's how I look at it. Yeah, all you bronies, send me your hate mail. I don't care, because you're bronies. So, your opinion means nothing. But, and then you have furries. Now, a furry is not a brony. So, let me explain to this. Brony and Pegasister are people who are really into just one specific thing, and that's the My Little Pony show in its universe. The Ponyverse, I guess you would call it. They're only into that. Furries are those people who dress up in costumes as anthropomorphic animals. fursuits, and they call their animal alter ego a fursona. Like fursona. But they dress up as animals, and they don't just do it at these conventions. They do it at home. They do it in public. And it's not just that they're dressing up. They believe that once they put the suit on, they become that animal. So a guy whose fursuit is like a fox believes that when he puts the fursuit on, he becomes a fox. And it's not just a fox walking around on 4 feet. These fursonas are usually, they're anthropomorphic, which means they're walking on hind legs. But they have human qualities. And sometimes there'll be mixtures of different animals, like a fox-rabbit combination, or a wolf-turtle combination, or something. But they believe that by putting these outfits on, they become the animals. And they go to conventions, and if you've ever talked to anybody who's had to work a furry convention, they usually want to just throw themselves off a building after it's over, because this is what I've read. I've read from people online that have worked these conventions that the lingering memory they have from these furry conventions is the smell. Because apparently they're not very hygienic. And because it's difficult to get in and out of the fursuits, most of them wear diapers and just do their business right in there. And then you have the stench of a fursuit, an unhygienic person, and a diaper. And then you multiply that by 1,000 or 2 or 3 in an enclosed space, and you can imagine. But these are furries. And they will meet other furries that they want to get their furry freak on with. And they will get their furry freak on, but they get their furry freak on while still wearing the fursuits. Because a lot of the fursuits come with, it's a delicate way of putting this, easy access to the required tools for said freakiness, if you get my drift. And they'll do it right in the fursuit. Like, literally. Like, that song, you know, do it like they do it on Animal Planet? Well, there you go. Okay. And it's... in reading some of the... There's a famous video on YouTube of a news team. I forget where it is. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. Just search, like, newscaster... furry convention. They're covering a furry convention, and the male newscaster just has his head in his hand, he can't believe that he actually has to talk about this, because it's so batshit insane. You know, and I mean, there's a difference between dressing up as the Easter Bunny for kids, and then dressing up as the Easter Bunny with access to the Easter Bunny's junk so he can get his freak on with a rabbit that looks like Bugs Bunny. I mean, it's hysterical. and it's sad at the same time. But this is a multi-million dollar... I mean, there are businesses whose only purpose is to serve the furry community. And I'm not talking the Pampers Corporation, though. They probably make a good chunk of change from the furries. I'm talking there's, like, businesses that all they do is cater to the furry or the brony communities, and they're making bank. They're making serious bank, man. They're making a lot of money servicing these people. And a lot of them are artists, and they'll do commission work. And, you know, some of it's really good. There's some real good talent out there, but most of it's crap. But, you know, they'll throw $200 at it. I don't know where they're getting the money from. Like I said, you know, most of them work in the IT industry. And it's kind of scary to me that the nation's IT infrastructure is in the hands of a guy that dresses up like a, you know, like a unicorn. And I don't know if I like that. You know. God, the power grid's out. Well, I guess Mr. Fox is out because he met a rather attractive rabbit he wants to get freaky with. I mean, I don't know. But it's... I don't get it. See, I get a loss for words when I have to talk about stuff like this, because it's... I want to use language that's going to get me kicked off the podcast. Maybe after I'm like Joe Rogan level, I can talk like that. But for now, I can't. And I mean, you know, you have people who are really into Star Trek, Trekkers, okay? But see, the proper term is Trekker, not Trekkie. It's a common misconception. But a lot of the people who are into Star Trek are very intelligent. They're really, really into Star Trek, but they're pretty much a very, very smart, highly educated group. A lot of people have gone to engineering school because of Mr. Scott and the engineers from Star Trek. And, you know, I remember James Doohan, the late James Doohan, who was Mr. Scott in Star Trek. He said one of the greatest pleasures in his life was meeting a fan who would tell them, I went to engineering school because of you, and now I'm an engineer and I work at NASA, or I work here, I work there. And you were an inspiration to me. And, you know, James Doohan would be the first to admit I had no engineering knowledge whatsoever. It was all made up. But the fact that he inspired people to better themselves, to become highly educated, to become important in their field. You know, that must be an awesome feeling, knowing you inspired thousands of people to go into engineering. And a lot of the engineers that work at NASA that put the Hubble up there, or that put Spirit and Opportunity, up on Mars, they were all Star Trek fans, and they went into engineering because of Mr. Scott, because of James Doohan. But see, that's where Star Trek's different than, like, bronies and furries. I mean, yeah, there's some Star Trek people like to wear the uniform. The most fascinating thing to me about that is that they're Klingon language. They actually, James Doohan again, came up with the initial words for the Klingon language for, I think it was Star Trek Motion Picture. And the Klingon language is now recognized as an actual language. They created an entire grammatical set of rules, syntax. It's got its own dictionary. They've translated the Bible into Klingon. They've translated almost all the works of Shakespeare, the Iliad, the Odyssey, like Tennyson, Keats. I mean, they've translated all this stuff into Klingon. It's an actual language, and you can actually go to a major university and study it. Now, some people want to say, oh, yeah, look at the Klingon, ha ha ha. Well, you know what? It is a language that was created out of nothing. An actual language. That's how languages actually come about, believe it or not. Nobody back in history just suddenly started speaking Latin or Germanic or English or Dutch or Albanian. Had to come from somewhere. And the fact that people managed to collectively create this language out of nothing is nothing short of brilliant. I mean, I wouldn't want to learn Klingon. I mean, it's a lot of like, ugh, you know, it's almost like Hebrew. But I wouldn't, I mean, my God, it's brilliant that they did this. But that's Star Trek. I mean, it's completely different. You know, they may dress up in the little outfits or dress up like Klingons, but, you know, they don't believe they're actually in Starfleet. They don't believe they're actually Klingons, and they ain't wearing diapers. Not like bronies and furries. You know, if you want to talk about fandoms, the worst, most toxic fandom on the planet is people that watch that, oh God, what was that? Serenity? Firefly? Those people. Oh my God. It was a sci-fi show, a bad sci-fi show, that was created and directed by Joss Whedon, the guy who ruined Justice League, and then it came out that he was abusive and sexist and may have assaulted somebody. I mean, the guy's a piece of you-know-what. He's a piece of crap. And cheating on his wife. I mean, just abusive, racist. So the show lasted not even an entire season on Fox, I think it was. Because it was horrible. But for some reason, it developed one of the most obsessive, toxic fan bases on the face of the earth. And if you go online, whether you're online on the old Usenet or you're on Reddit or anywhere where there's like a, where you can post opinions about movies or about sci-fi, you will always see people jump in going, hey, you know, but Serenity, Firefly did this. And it's an organized effort by a large part of the fandom. They purposely seek out threads of other sci-fi shows or sci-fi movies to purposely stick in stuff about that show, about Serenity, Firefly, Nathan Fillion, whoever is involved with it. But they purposely seek it out to stick it in there to try to steer the narrative towards the show. And they don't understand why they're probably the most hated fan base in, like, sci-fi television. Because they purposely do that, because they cultishly believe this was the greatest show that ever existed, and it was a giant QAnon conspiracy why it was canceled. It was canceled because it sucked. I tried watching an episode, and it was horrible. I tried watching the movie, and it was even worse. But, you know, but they'll do that. You know, you go to any site and start talking about your favorite sci-fi film, guarantee you within a couple days, one of them will show up and then just totally derail your thread. And they do it on purpose. They've admitted they do it on purpose. They admitted there's an effort by a large part of the fan base to do it, because it's their way of sticking it to society because their favorite show was canceled. I mean, grow up. Seriously. It's you know. So what? What show that I used to like that was canceled? I don't really watch TV. I mean, I used to watch TV in back in the day when the History Channel actually showed history stuff instead of reality crap, like stuff that isn't even real, like Pawn Stars or, you know. Back when History Channel and, like, hey, you know, tonight on the History Channel, a documentary about woodworking in the Ottoman Empire. I was like, oh God, this will be great. And then everything in the History Channel back then, too, was like Hitler. It was almost like the Hitler Channel. Everything was, you know, Hitler's secret weapons, Hitler's secret stormtroopers, Hitler's plan to win the World War II. And it was great. I mean, not great because I like Hitler, but I mean, it was great because he had all this World War II stuff, World War I stuff, and he had medieval history, had weird documentaries. Like, I'm not kidding. There was actually a documentary on woodworking in the Ottoman Empire. It existed. And now History Channel is garbage. Animal Planet used to be about animals. Now it's junk. The only good thing on Animal Planet anymore was River Monsters, and Jeremy Wade retired. You know? There's a great YouTube show called Townsend's and Sons, where they do they're reenactors, and they actually they're colonial America, and they'll cook food using the original recipes, ingredients, and methods. They're dressed in the period outfits. They will build according to the methods and materials of the day. They'll build like a house or a cabin. They go to a lot of the reenactment events for colonial times and talk to the people. It's called Townsend's and Sons, and they're absolutely fantastic. It's probably one of the purest family type of shows that you can see on YouTube. I mean, Bob Ross would have been all over this. That's how pure this was. But it's a great show. And I love it because you get all these recipes and all this non-political, just straight history, and the guy who hosts it, it always looks so happy, like talking about, you know, God, this is how we made bread in 1610. You know, and it's like he's conducting a symphony of Don Giovanni. That's how much he's into this whole bread thing from 1610. And it's fantastic. It's called Townsend's and Sons on YouTube. Check it out. You know, I'm not getting plugged by this. I was just watching it before the podcast. They were making some crab stew. recipe from 17 something. He didn't like the crab stew. I mean, the crab stew didn't look too good, but, you know, he made it. And, see, that's the type of stuff I like. You know, historical stuff, because that's what I studied. And, but yeah, check out Townsend and Sons. It's a really good YouTube channel. You know, very, it's good because it's non-political. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to worry about anything like that getting thrown in your face. He wants to talk about, actually he filmed a video a few years ago because he was so tired because people were commenting political stuff in his YouTube channel, and the poor guy made a whole video of how he would just wish people would just stop because he just wants to do his history stuff, and it was just upsetting him to see people fighting. And I felt so bad because here's a guy who puts his heart and soul into this channel, and he's got, I think he has like over a million something viewers, and you know, people were ruining the comment sections, and he just looked so dejected sitting there in his colonial era outfit. I felt bad for him. I mean, I sent him a message. You know, he never replied because he's probably got thousands of messages. And I said, you know, some of us historian type people, we love what you do. Don't give up. You know, ignore that stuff. But he just looked dejected because he just wanted to bring some nice wholesome history, and then of course people have to jump in the comment section and start ruining it. You know, just stop. You know, sometimes people don't want to deal with that. You know, they just want something nice in their lives with no stress, no political bullshit, no racial bullshit. They just want to be entertained for a while and just leave them be. Seriously, if you have to always inject political stuff in everything that you do, then you seriously have a mental problem and you need to get therapy. No, seriously, I'm not over exaggerating. If you feel the need to constantly interject political stuff, no matter what side of the spectrum you're on, into any argument or into any statement or into any YouTube channel or anything, you need therapy, because you have something wrong with you mentally or emotionally, and you've got to get a handle on that. Seriously. So, there you go. So I think we'll end on that note, because I'm going to play some League of Legends, and I'm going to rest, and be back tomorrow. I want to thank you all for listening to Victims of Fun. I want to thank Mr. Fujiwara's Top Ramen for hosting us again in the Chiba District in Tokyo. Alright, buddy, anime. Sailor Moon Anime Store. Once again, thank you to Anchor, the best podcast software on the internet. It's easy to use. All the tools are right at your fingertips, either on your desktop or your mobile phone, Apple or Android. You could be up and running and creating your own podcast within 10 minutes of download. And you could even possibly make some money off of it. I've made 16 cents. Need to get more viewers, so make sure you send me some email at victimsoffun@mail.com, or hit the button to support. Just throw me some cash every month. You're probably going to do nothing but waste it anyway on Starbucks. You might as well give it to me. Everybody be safe out there and love each other. I'll see you next time. Thank you.